Good morning. Today's Daf Moed Katan Zayin. We're in Vav Amud Beis. We are starting with the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, continuing with activities that we're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Again, there's an Isur Melacha and Chol HaMoed. The Isur Melacha and Chol HaMoed, as we discussed since the beginning of the Masechta, is somewhat different than your standard Isur Melacha on Shabbos and Yantav. There is an objective Isur Melacha, which with a Terim on Yantav, more Heterim than there is on Shabbos, but nevertheless, there's an Isur. There's an Isur Melacha. Meanwhile, in Chol HaMoed, so on one hand, there is an Isur Melacha, but on the other hand, the number of times where you can actually do the Melacha. Okay. You can get in your car and you can drive to Shul in Chol HaMoed. Driving a car is a Melacha. And nevertheless, so you're allowed to do certain Melachas on Chol HaMoed. So, instead of driving cars, so we're learning the Gemara and we're talking about taking care of the field. Okay. So, back in the good old days, so obviously taking care of the fields was a primary concern of theirs on a daily basis. And so a discussion to be had since the beginning of the Masechta, now for 1 week, talking about the irrigation of the field. So since the beginning of the Masechta, from Daf Beis to yesterday's Daf, to Daf Vav, so the Gemara was involved in what kind of fields can you water. So irrigation of a piece of property on Shabbos would be a Malacha. Now it's funny, you ask me what Malacha is it? So the Gemara asked that very question. That was back on Daf Beis and Beis. So it could be the Malacha of Chorish, it could be the Malacha of Zariah, it could be both. Regardless, it's a malacha to go ahead and to water the field. But in Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do so. What is the consideration? So the primary consideration, as we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, is hefsed. If we're talking about a law, so under those circumstances, a chacham or a mekel. How can the chacham be mekel? And the answer is they can. I know that's not the best way to say it, but that's the way Rashi said in the beginning of the Masechta, Tosos said in the beginning of the Masechta. When it comes to malacha and Chol HaMoed, so masru biyad chachamim. So the chachamim were given that kind of legislative ability in terms of when the malacha is going to be enforced and when the malacha is not going to be enforced. And so therefore, four considerations of hefsed. So malacha could get waived if there is a real loss. If it's just a question of harvacha, of not making profit. So under those circumstances, the chachamim were not mekel. But if we're talking about mamisha hefsed, if we're talking about a real loss, so the chachamim were mekel. Good, so that's what we've been discussing now. Since the beginning of the Masechta. Mishnah now, as we begin, is going to still continue to discuss taking care of your lands or your properties, but we're going to move away from irrigation, and now we're going to be talking about, number one, pest removal, and we're going to be talking about making a fence around your property. So first of all, pest removal. Sadin, so here's what you're allowed to trap on Chol HaMoed. Sadinus, Ishus ves Achbarim. So Achbarim are rats, rodents that we know. Ishus, the Gemara is going to try to explain what it is. Basically, it's a chulda, it's a type of weasel. Anyway, they're pests. There are pests that are in your property, and you'd like to get rid of them. So you could trap them on Chol HaMoed. Again, Seida, it's one of the 39 malachas in general. So you're not allowed to trap. You're not allowed to trap on Shabbos. You're not allowed to trap on Yantiv. In fact, even though on Yantiv there's a Hetav Ochel Nefesh, but there is a Mishnah that we saw in the beginning of the third parak of Beitza that says that on Yantiv you're not allowed to trap. It's not mutter, even though there is a Hetav Ochel Nefesh. Okay, and if you recall back then, so we attempted to explain why that is. In other words, you are on one hand, you're allowed to cook, but on the other hand, you're not allowed to trap. Good, with all the explanations of why distinction to be made. But you're not allowed to trap on Shabbos, you're not allowed to trap on Yantiv, but you are allowed to trap on Chol HaMoed when there's a consideration of it's going to ruin your property. So it's not necessary. Vesach Barim, Mistei Ilan, Mistei Alav, and Kedarko, and you can go. You can trap these pests from your. From your orchard and from your field. Stay alovin is a wheat field or any kind of grain field. It's called the stay alovin because when you look at it, so it's white. It's white in complexion. So, and you could do so kedarko in the usual manner, but motive is shvius. And this would be true on Chol HaMoed. This would be true also during the Shemitah year as well. In a moment, I'll come back to just make a point regarding the Shemitah year. So, the chachamim omrim is the al ilan kedarko, and the chachamim are not as permissive. When it comes to a stay at Elam, when it comes to a wheat field, so then you can trap it regular. Umistay alav and shalok adarko. But if it's talking about when it comes to an orchard, so then you can trap it kedarko, as you would regularly trap. However, when it comes to a stay alavan, so then you have to use a shinui. So presumably, it's not as much damage to a stay alavan as it is to a stay Elam. And so therefore, you have to do so with a shinui in a unusual manner. And the Mishnah goes on to describe building a fence. So again, building a fence would in general be a malacha, meaning that's building, that's bona. However, Makrinus appearsa b'moed, if let's say you had a fence and then there was a breach in the fence, so you can go ahead and you can patch it up on Chol HaMoed, uv'shvi'is bona kedarka. Now on Chol HaMoed you can only patch it, but on during the Shemitah year, so bona kedarka, you can go ahead and you can rebuild it. No limitation whatsoever on Shemitah in terms of rebuilding your fence. So here in the Mishnah, so two more malachas being discussed in the context of Chol HaMoed. One is trapping, the other is building. As we've been discussing also, as we've been doing since the beginning of the Masechta, a little compare and contrast between the halachas of Chol HaMoed and the halachas of Shviyas. Meaning, obviously, those are two totally different Isurim, but nevertheless, there's some shared halachas, and what we've been doing is basically pointing out that you can't water on Chol HaMoed. Again, that's a malacha issue. You can't water on during the Shemitah year, because that's a Shemitah issue, meaning on Shemitah, so you're not allowed to work the land. So so since they have shared halachas, so we're going to see it pretty often. Tosus over here points out, in terms of trapping the animals on Chol HaMoed, so again, that's a malacha. Trapping animals on Shemitah, meaning what's the issue whatsoever? Now the Mishnah says you're allowed to do so, so great. But if the Mishnah is telling you you're allowed to do so, that means that there's a chiddush involved in that. What's a chiddush? You're not working the land. All you're doing is just simply getting rid of these pests that are in your field. So Tosus is bothered by that. You can see the bottom Tosus over here, who attempts to give a chiddush in terms of why that would be why would even be on the table? Why is it even a consideration? See the last Tosus for a discussion of that. We're going to continue in the Gemara.
Preventing destruction is the same as improving.
But it's not. You're not working the land. And Shemitah, the Yisra is working the land. Okay, my Ishus. We are starting with the Gemara. The Gemara starts off with a very technical question. So one of the pests that you're allowed to trap is what's called an ishus. So good. So it's a foreign word, foreign even to the Gemara. So the Gemara now wants to know, what is that? So I'm Rav Yehuda Bar Yishein Lo Einayim. So it's a kind of mole. The Gemara describes it as not having eyes. So somebody showed me a picture of such an animal. Okay. So I'm a Rav Bar Yishmael Vitem Rav Yehma Bar Shamayim Maikra. I'm not sure. It's a really good question. I'm not sure if the Mishnah over here is just talking, just giving examples. The Mishnah over here is, these particular ones are more destructive. It would be more than helpful if I had any idea what I was talking about. I don't have enough experience in any of these, neither in the animal department nor in the working the land department. Okay, I simply don't know enough to know why the Mishnah chose these two. So, my cross. So the Gemara now wants to know a pasuk that supports this. Kamo shavlul tamas yalech nafal eshes bal chazu shemesh. Okay, you can see Rashi over here for a description of different types of animals that just don't do well in the sun. Anyway, but the one of them is this eshes, which obviously is synonymous with the ishus that's described in our Mishnah. Again, it doesn't do well in the sun. It doesn't see. Okay, fine. Tana Rabbanan. So, the Bryce over here complimenting what we learned in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to trap the Ishus and the Akbar from a wheat field, from an orchard, and you can do so in the normal fashion. And what you can also do is you can get rid of the ant piles. You have an anthill, and you want to get rid of it, so you may do so on Chol HaMoed. Now, the Bryce over here says, oh, and by the way, how do you do that? So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer may be offering me chorzeh, and also l'soch chorzeh, vein choken ze et ze. So oddly enough, interestingly enough, the Brisa gives us advice in terms of how to exterminate the ants. Okay, I'm not sure why this becomes a halachic discussion, meaning certainly it's a practical discussion. I'm certainly confused by the fact that it's in a Brisa and it's part and parcel of Torah. Okay? Meaning, obviously, it's good. It's helpful. Back in the day when this method was effective, I'm just not clear why this becomes part of a brisa. Regardless, the basic idea over here is that you take foreign dirt, you put it in this together with these ants, and the ants go crazy. Okay, they just simply are not adapting to the foreign earth, and somehow in ways that I cannot explain. So it makes the ants crazy to the point where they end up killing one another. So I'm Rav Yehma Bar Shammai Mishmei Dabaye. Now, as much as it bothered me a little bit that it's in the Braisa, the Gemara discusses this in just a little bit more detail regarding what is considered foreign earth. So, v'hu dekai b'shrei avrei nahari. You have to get the earth from some other location where there's no communication between this earth and that earth, meaning there's no bridge, v'hudaleka gishra, v'hudaleka gemala, v'hudaleka mitra. There's simply no passage to get from here to there, right? Each one of these structures are like a narrower and narrower bridge, but basically there's no way to get from one to the other. Ad kama, how far apart do these ant holes have to be, ant piles have to be, in order for the earth to be considered foreign earth? Ad parsa, we're talking up until a parsa. The way Rashi understands the Gemara's question over here, ad kama, you can see the top Rashi on the Amud. Miruchakim ani trechori namalim dechi ika nahara binayu. Veleka Gishra, De'in Makir Nahani Bechori Dahane. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara's question of Ad Kama is even, sorry, when there is a river and there is no bridge, meaning that the distance of a parsa is only going to be effective if there's no form of communication. But if there's communication, the way Rashi presents it, even a parsa would not be helpful. Okay, and again, you could see Tosfos over here, who gives a different shot in terms of the Gemara's question of Ad Kama. Anyway, good. So a little bit this morning regarding rodent extermination, regarding ant extermination. But the basic idea is that because of Hefseid, so therefore, and say even though Seda normally would be a Malacha, but you're allowed to go ahead and exterminate these animals. We are continuing on Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Misei Ailan Kedarko, Misei Alam Mishalo Kedarko, Tan Rabban and Kitzik Kedarko. So what is considered Kedarko? So the usual manner of trapping. So chofer guma v'tolaba mitzuda. So the normal way of trapping is that you're going to dig some sort of hole and you put a trap by the hole. Okay, I know I'm not being very specific, but you know I know what a rat trap looks like nowadays. All right. So if you live back in the day, I'm sure this was a good enough description to help you know what they were describing. Keitza shelo kedarko. Again, according to Shita's Rav Yehuda. So if we are talking about a stay alive, if we're talking about a wheat field, so these are not as damaging, you have to use a little bit of a shinui. So a simple question over here in the Braisa, so what does that mean, a little bit of a shinui? So Ketzah Shaloka Darko, no, it's Shpud, Umake Bekardom, Umirada Adama Metachteha. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to create vibrations in the ground, and the vibrations in the ground, maybe all the holes will fill in because of the vibrations. Again, I'm not really sure what we're describing over here, but it's an unusual manner of trapping, and that's the way you're going to do so, according to Shitas Rav Yehuda. Tanya the Gemara quotes a Braisa. In our Girsa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, an alternate Girsa, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yaakov, either way, Omer Kisha Amru, Mistei Lavan, Shalok Adarko, Lo Amru, Ela Bistei Lavan, Hasmucha Le'ir. When we say that the stay lavan, so Rav Yehuda says that you have to do it in an unusual manner. That's only the stay lavan that's proximate to the city. Avav b'stay lavan is mukhal stay ilan. But if you had your wheat field right next to your orchard, afilu kedarko. So then you can go ahead and exterminate in the usual manner. Shemi yatsam stay lavan v'yachriva stay ilanus. Because even though they're not as damaging for the stay lavan, but they are damaging for the orchard. And because the stay lavan is proximate to the orchard, so therefore you have to worry about the damage that can come from the contiguous properties. Okay. Omakrin appears to be moed. That ends our discussion this morning regarding exterminating animals from your field on Chol HaMoed, and now patching up the fence. So, Kate's a makrin. So, the Mishnah's language over here of makrin, another unusual word, but basically means doing a patch job and not actually building it, making a bona fide new fence. So what does that mean? Rav Yosef Amar Rabbi Huta V'Dafna. So Rav Yosef's understanding is that basically some sort of woven palm branches to be using as a makeshift patch for your broken fence. B'mas nisa tanat sarbet soravena tach betit. In a brisa, a different interpretation, which is that you pile stones, but you don't cement the stones one to the other. Amar Rav Chisa loshanu ala kosa agina. So over here, when we're saying that, you can go ahead and do a patch job. That's only when it's by your garden. But when it comes to your chatzir, so then you could do it in a normal, usual manner. The way Rashi understands it is that your chatzir, that's where your possessions are. Meaning your gina. Okay, so let's say somebody actually walks through your gina. Okay, not the biggest deal. Meaning you don't want them to do so, and you can patch it up, but because it is not such a final financial consideration, So therefore, only a makeshift job. But when it comes to your chatzer, you don't want anyone in your chatzer. And so therefore, if it breaks on Chol HaMoed, so you, for your safety and your protection, and seemingly also for financial protection, so then you can build it up kedarko, in a normal manner. Lema Mesayele. So the Gemara says, okay, I have a brisa, and I think this brisa is going to be supportive of Rav Chisda. Meaning, Rav Chisda just taught us a distinction to be made between the broken fence of your garden and the broken fence of your courtyard. The Mishnah is only talking about a broken fence of the courtyard. Sorry. The Mishnah is only talking about the broken fence of the garden, but not the broken fence of a courtyard. And now, with this brisa, sounds like we're going to be able to support Rav Chisda. The brisa talks about a similar circumstance, but it's not exactly the same. So you have a wall that you're sharing together with the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, you live right by the main road, the main thoroughfare, and the wall separating you and the main thoroughfare. And it happens to be right now that your wall is starting to tilt. Okay. Right now, it's a public danger. So what you're allowed to do is that you can now knock it down, on Chol HaMoed, knock it down and build it up again. And so therefore, nobody's going to be in danger in the Rishus HaRabim. So, okay, now what it sounds like is that for considerations of safety, you can go ahead and knock down a wall and build it up again on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear that, but that doesn't necessarily support Rav Chisda. Hasam kedektane tamim nimeyasakana. Over there in that Braisa, there it wasn't just a financial consideration of you want to protect your property. Over there, it's hovering right and tilting in the direction of Rishus HaRabim if we don't tend to it, so people can get really hurt. So over there, we're talking about a real sakana. So maybe that's why in that circumstance, you can go ahead and you can build it. May not inform us regarding the wall to your courtyard. Igad Amri Tashma, the Gemara is going to do this again, meaning we're going to go through the same sequence again, but here we're going to go in the other direction. And over here, immediately after seeing the Braisa, so now the Gemara is going to make a diuk. The only reason why you can go ahead and build up your fence that is contiguous to a Rishus HaRabim is because it poses a sakana, which means that if it's not posing a sakana, meaning the wall of your courtyard is not contiguous to Rishus HaRabim and it falls down, you have no right to build it up again. And if that's true, then we are not supporting Rav Chisda. In fact, just the opposite. It's a question of Rav Chisda. So, lema tavit yufta de Rav Chisda. Am lecha Rav Chisda, asam soser bona, hacha bona velo soser. So the Gemara says, no. Well, what we can do is make a distinction between the Braisa and the halacha Rav Chisda. In the Braisa, you know what we're saying? You have a wall. It happens to be shared with the Rishus HaRabim. It's tilting right now. It's posing a real sakana. So what can you do on Chol HaMoed? Two steps. You can knock it down and you can build it up again. When Rav Chisda was talking about your courtyard, so if the wall in your courtyard is tilting slightly, okay, wait till after Chol HaMoed. Meaning you can't knock it down. If it falls down, so now you have the right, the legitimate right in Chol HaMoed to go ahead and build it back up again. And not just a patch job, you could do a bona fide mending of your fence. And Hasanami, you list of lo livne. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If we're talking about where the only problem with the wall that is that shared with the Rishus HaRabim is that's posing a danger, so how about this? How about just knocking on the wall, but not building it up, meaning and only waiting until after Chol HaMoed to build it up again? So the Gemara says, Imke mimne velo soser. The Gemara says, no, because we know how people think. In other words, if you're asking me to knock down the wall between my property and the Rishus HaRabim, and I'm going to wait till after Chol HaMoed to go ahead and build it up again, I got a great idea. The wall's not going to fall. Everyone's going to be fine. We'll wait till after Chol HaMoed. So in other words, you have to take into consideration what, in other words, if you give only certain allowances, it's not going to motivate and incentivize people. If on the other hand, you could tell a person that you're going to knock it down and you can build it up again on Chol HaMoed, okay, now we're talking. I'm Rav Ashi Masisan.
Because they see that.
Yeah, correct. I'm Rav Ashi Masisan Amideka, Diktanu Vishviyas Bona Kedarka. So now that we have litigated Rav Chisda's halacha based on a braisa, and the Gemara has defended Rav Chisda, the Gemara now would like to support Rav Chisda based on our Mishnah. Because what did our Mishnah say? That on Chol HaMoed, if your fence falls down, so you can build it up, but only patchwork. If, however, it's Shemitah, you can build it up kedarko. Now the Gemara says, good, Dehecha. when the Mishnah was talking about the fence during the Shemitah year, this fence was a perimeter to what? Ilem dechatzer. Was this fence a perimeter to your property and to your courtyard? Tzricha lememar. So then I need a Mishnah to talk about me going ahead and building a fence around my property during the Shemitah year, meaning during the Shemitah year, the Isser is regarding the fields and the produce. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah would now be that you can go ahead and make a fence around your field. I don't need a Mishnah to talk at all about the fence around my property on Shemitah. There is no problem whatsoever with building a house, building a fence around a house. That would be perfectly fine. So what the Mishnah obviously is referring to is the fence around your Gina. Good. So now we see that the Mishnah is talking about a fence around the Gina, where the consideration would be, well, people may think that I'm creating more protection so that people will not come into my property during Shemitah year. Okay. And for reasons which I think I understand, but meaning the Mishnah is telling us that that's okay, meaning you're allowed to build a fence around your property during the Shemitah year, but property over here, meaning your field, I would imagine there's still going to be an opening and there's still going to be people that's allowed to come in. Again, the whole idea behind Shemitah is that people can come in, but still you have the right to still have some sort of perimeter around the field. So nevertheless, what we learn from the Mishnah is that now you see contextually the Mishnah is in fact talking about your fields, not your property. Ah, so now when we're talking about Chol HaMoed, so the fence that we're describing where you can't build it anew, but you can only do a patchwork, is talking about the fence around your field, not around your house. The fence around your courtyard, that you can build back anew. And that would now be supportive of Rav Chisda. So when you look at the context of the Mishnah, you see that we can in fact really support Rav Chisda. Ad Kan. Okay, so far this morning, so we covered a Mishnah and the Gemara's discussion regarding trapping on Chol HaMoed, which you're allowed to do when there's a hefsek consideration, and what happens when your fence falls down, and building back your fence.
Is there an issue of Tirchei Yisera when you're building a fence
on Chol HaMoed? So the assumption that we've had is that if it's a Tirchei Yisera, so then you can't do it. What we're going to struggle with, or speak for myself, is what exactly is the definition of Tirchei Yisera. So when watering, right, like go back to the Mishnah in the beginning, in the opening of the Masechta. So when watering, so you are allowed to water fields that there's a hefsek, but where you're going to get the water from, so that is going to be governed by what is considered Tirchei Yisera. Good. So over here, I don't know. I don't know what's going to be the governing rules regarding Tirchei Yisera when it comes to trapping, when it comes to building a fence, right? It's a fair question. Okay. Our next discussion, which is going to cover the rest of today's daf, and it's going to go into tomorrow's daf as well, is going to be the Kohen's ability to look at Saras. Now, this to us is obviously going to be a discussion that's going to go a little bit over our heads because we have no experience with Saras, and we haven't had experience for a lot of years. Okay, the last reported case of Saras, unknown. But it's been, during Bayis Sheni, was there Saras? I don't know. And during Bayis Rishon, for sure there was Saras. In fact, we're going to talk this morning about certain kings that had Saras. Okay, so, but we haven't had it for a long time, and the rules are detailed. Okay, so what we need to know this morning are not all the specifics of Saras. We need to know some of the basics. Okay, but before we get to even the basics, what's the issue about Chol HaMoed and Saras? What's the problem? So the problem is as follows. So you have a possible Saras case. You're going to go to a Kohen. He's going to tell you you have Saras. And now what is that going to do? It's going to shtir your Simchas Yontif. So there's a mitzvah to be happy on Yontif. Now when I say be happy on Yontif, I'm not just talking about during the meal, talking about Gantz Yontif, including Chol HaMoed. That's seven continuous days of being happy. Now I'm speaking as an Ashkenaz over here. It's challenging. Okay, imagine just trying to be happy for one day, for 1 hour. Okay, if you're not an Ashkenaz Jew, so you can't relate. But anyway, but the but nevertheless, though, there's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah of Samachta Bechagecha. You got to be happy. So if you have a possible tzaras case and you're going to go to the Kohen and he's going to give you bad news, So that's the concern. That's the consideration. Additional to that, in other words, what's the ramifications of now becoming tameh, becoming a mitzara? So that obviously now is going to impact your life, both in terms of your social setting and also in terms of you being with your wife. All details coming up in just a moment. So, but just the overall issue over here is it's going to share your simchas yontif. That's the overall issue. Okay, good. Now, let's go over some of the basics. And I say the basics, I mean like ABCs, meaning we're not going to get into any kind of real detail. However, here's the situation. If you have a white spot on your skin, it could be tzaras. You're going to go to a kohen. He's going to tell you. Now, there are three things that he could tell you. Number one, you're good. You're fine. Okay? Number two, you're a mitzara mukhlat. That's definitive tzaras. Or he could tell you, we need hezger. You need to be sequestered for 7 days and come back after 7 days, and we're going to look at it again. Because there are other simanei tuma, and those are the details that we're not going to go through. After the first week of hezger, he's going to go back to the kohen, and the kohen's going to look at him. And again, with three possibilities of either your tummy, your tower, or you need another week of Hezger. After the second week of Hezger, at that point in time, there are only two possibilities in which the Kohen's going to tell him. Either your tummy or your tower. Okay, good. And that's a really, really broad overview. Okay, now, another thing to take into consideration. Let's wait. That for now, that will be enough. The Mishnah over here gives us the following. Rabbi Meir Omer Ronas and Agayim. Lahaka v'lo lahachmer. Okay, so Rameer is of the position that if you have tzaras and you go to a kohen, fine, go to a kohen, and what is he going to do? So if it comes out that what you have is nothing, so he'll tell you, good, you have nothing. If it comes out that there's something over there, so according to Rameer, what the kohen can tell you to do is, hey, you know what? Come back to me in a week, and let me look at it again. So in other words, he doesn't have to give a psak of tumah. And v'chacham emarmim lo lahakav lo lahachmer. Now, according to the Chachamim, no. In other words, you can't go to the Kohen on Chol HaMoed, because the Kohen's going to have to tell you something. Now, if he tells you a Torah, that's great. But if he can't tell you that, it's not great. And it's going to share your Simchas Yontif. Okay. So far, too early for questions. So we, the, huh?
By default, he's saying if the Kohen doesn't say anything, it's as though you are.
Okay, fine. Again, it's a little bit too early because there's more information that the Gemara is going to provide us regarding the context of our Mishnah. Tanya, Gemara starts with a Brisa. Rabbi Meir, Omer Ronas, and Agayim Lahakav Lo Lahachmer. Good. So our Meir of the Brisa says, Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah, Hainu Hach. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Lo Lahakav Lo Lahachmer, Shimata Niskak Lo Lahakav, Niskak Lo Lo Af Lahachmer. Good. And Shitas Rav Yossi, which presumably is a chacham of our Mishnah, is that you can't go to a Kohen Chol HaMoed because, again, once you go to him, so he's got to say something. And he's going to say either your tummy or your tahor. Again, with that middle possibility of Hezger, but again, that's coming up in just a moment. Okay, so, can I go to a Kohen with possible tzaras, machlokas, Rav Meir, and Rav Yossi? We saw in the Mishnah, we saw in the Braisa, and now, Amar Rebbe. Nirin divrei Rebbe Meir b'moskiv divrei Rebbe Yossi b'mukhla. Okay, this happens numerous times throughout Shas. Okay, I didn't take the time to do a search. I'm not sure if I'm that interested, but it happens frequently. Well, what Rebbe does is basically he splits the decision. He takes the shita of Rebbe Meir, he takes the shita of Rebbe Yossi in this particular case, and he says, look, I think he's right in this context. I think he's right in that situation. And so over here, the way we have it presented is that near and divrei Rebbe Meir b'muskar. So I think that if we're talking about a Kohen who is at the point of Hezger, so he can now go to the, he can go to the Kohen. If, however, we're at the point of Mukhlat, so then he can't go to the Kohen. Okay, now, this needs a little bit more information, and the Gemara is going to provide it. Amarava, b'tar kolem alo pligi delo chazilei. So Rava says, look, here's where we're at. If the person is starting at the point of being tahor, and he has a spot, he has a white spot. So at that point in time, there is no debate whatsoever. Don't go to the Kohen. You can't go to the Kohen. Nothing good is going to come out from that. Now, again, that's not true. It's possible that it could be nothing. But at the same time, however, it's also possible that it could be something. And again, it's Chol HaMoed. It's Yontiv. You have to be in a state of Simcha. Don't go. Now, behezger rishon dekol amalo pligi dechazile. And now, if you're finishing up your first week of sequestering, meaning that when you went to the Kohen, so he says, right, the of the three things that he could say, he said to you, look, you need a week of sequestering. Okay, hezger. And so at that point in time, and now it happens to be that week finished up right in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So under those circumstances, everyone's of the in agreement, you can go to the Kohen. Because at that point in time, there's nothing that the Kohen could say to you that's going to make it worse off than you currently are right now, right? If you're in a week of Hezger, so he could say to you, it's for sure Tameh. Okay, you were in a state of Hezger already. The debate is going to revolve around the second Hezger. Now, the Marsavra Bekohen Talia Milsa. So, and as far as what are the concerns, it goes as follows. One is of the position that Bekohen Talia Milsa, that every, and this is the Shita Rav Meir, that everything is going to be contingent on the Kohen E Tahor Amrle Tahor. Now, if you are in fact Tahor, so then that's great. And vi tame shosik. And if you're tame, so he'll be quiet. Meaning because the tuma does not confer on the person until the Kohen says so. So according to a mayor, so the tuma is not just a function of the actual symptoms, but the tuma is also going to be a function of the Kohen actually declaring that you're tame. So Shita's Rav Meir now is well understood. Because at this point in time, what the Kohen could just simply do is tell you to wait. And you are symptomatic? Yes, that's true. But without if I may borrow modern terminology, without a positive test, it's nothing. I know. Right. So, umar savar letaro o letamo. And on the other hand, Rav Yosef is of the position, letaro letamoksiv. In other words, no, when you go to the Kohen, so he's either going to tell you your Tahor or he's going to tell you your Tameh. Okay, so what we have now over here is the following. So the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, or in our Mishnah's version, Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and now with Rebbe's split decision. And here's how it all now comes down as the Gemara has just presented it. If you're starting from scratch, meaning you have no history of Taras. You're coming in now for the first time with a white spot. So at that point in time, everyone's in agreement. No, don't go. If you're between week one and week two, everyone's of the position, you can go. And the only question now becomes is that you're at the end of week two of Hezger. So it's at that point in time now we have a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, where Rav Meir says that, look, you can go to the Kohen because now what? Because now even if you're Tameh, the Kohen has the right and the ability to simply decline giving an answer, and you don't become Tameh according to Rav Meir until the Kohen says you're Tameh. Okay. And so therefore, the result could just simply be a positive result. And on the other hand, according to Rav Yossi, no. In other words, the Kohen has to declare what he sees. And if he sees your Tameh, you're Tameh. And if he says you're Tari, then you're Tari. And so therefore, that possibility, that real possibility of you being Tameh is going to share Simchas Yontav, and that's no good. Fine, and Rabbi Meir is now saying, look, as far as the Mitzora Mukhlat is concerned, I'm on board with Rabbi Yossi. As far as the Muska is concerned, so I'm on board with Rabbi Meir. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Amar Rebbe Nirin Dev Rebbe Yosef B'Mukhla V'Dev Rebbe Meir B'Muska. Good. So that is so far, everything that we presented. Now, V'Hatanya Ibcha, so the Gemara says, but I have a Braisa which flips, meaning that according to Rebbe, as far as a Mukhla is concerned, is going to be with Rebbe Meir, meaning that as a Mukhlat, so you can go to the Kohen, for a psak, and when it comes to a muskar, so he's going to be like Rabbi Yossi. You should not be going to the Kohen. Okay, now the Braisa, we have a Braisa that flips it around. So the Gemara says, Tanai hi Aliba de Rebbe. So the Gemara says, you're right, and I'm going to explain now why it is that we have two different versions. Mar Sarvat Safta de Alma Adiflay. So, what happens now when you're a Mitzara? So, when you're a Mitzara, so you have to go Chutz Machaneh. Now, that means, right, the beginning of Parshas Naso, people who are Tamei have to be now outside. When you're a Muskar, so you have to be the most outside, meaning Chutz Gimel Machanos, you cannot have any social interactions. Okay. Now, I'm overstating it, by the way. In other words, Mamish, you can't talk to somebody. So, we're going to be discussing it in the third parak in Moed Katan in some more detail, but it suffice to say for now that as a Mitzara Musgar, as a Mitzara Mukhlat, so you're a Chutz Machaneh. Oddly enough, even though you have no social interaction, you can take your wife with you and be with her. Okay. I mean, she's going to, by virtue of being in contact with you, she'll be Tameh. She's not a Mitzara. Okay. But in other words, but you could take her with you. That is if you are a Mitzara. On the other hand, oddly enough, when the Kohen says that you're Tahor, so now what? Meaning, when you were already a Mitzara, and the Kohen says that you're a Tahor, now what? So now you have to go through the Tahara process. Okay, beginning of Parshas Mitzara, Perek Yudalev Vayikra. So the Torah goes through all the details of the Tahara process. We're not going to go through the details right now. For us, it's suffice to say the following. It's an 8-day ordeal, and for 7 of those days, so you cannot be with your wife. Even though now, in terms of social acceptance, you're admitted back in, I mean physically, you can actually come back into the camp. On the other hand, you can no longer be with your wife. Okay, so now, I know this is going to be unbelievably insightful, even a little bit funny. What's the preferred state that a person would rather be in? Would he like to be now in a social construct, being together with his friends, or do you prefer being together with his wife? Okay, perfect, right? I know. I'm thinking like everyone. It depends. Okay, so I know, and I'm being recorded right now, but it depends. So the Gemara says now exactly that. So now basically it comes out like this. In other words, if you're now already in a state of mukhlat, and now you're going to the Kohen, so now what can he tell you? So he could tell you something which to you may be very uncomfortable, which is, it's no longer tsaras. Oh. Now if it's no longer tsaras, so for that person now, he can go back into the community, however, he can't be with his wife.
Why not?
Rashi brings down a drasha, right? As far as the why is concerned, why is the hardest question to answer? It's a drasha. Rashi brings it down. Chutz la'olo. The pasuk says. He has to be outside of his tent. Olo over here means his wife. Okay. Right? Shuva lachem la'olechem. Rashi brings down a drasha. Good. So for the one who says that if you're a mukhlat, right? In other words, there are two versions of Rebbe, meaning when you should not go to the Kohen. So the version of Rebbe that says you shouldn't go to the Kohen is when you're a mukhlat, because if he tells you, in fact, you're Tahor, so that means now that you get friendship, you get companionship with others, but you can't be with your wife. So some would say that's the preferred position, and some would say no. The opposite's the preferred position. If some people would prefer being with their wife rather than being with other people. Now, again, I know it's kind of a funny discussion in that we're giving a seemingly universal response to something which, quite frankly, may be a very personal decision in terms of what a person would prefer. And meaning, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't just simply say, well, let's ask him which one he would prefer. Although there's just also the practical issue, which he says, I prefer my friends over my wife, probably wouldn't be good for the marriage. But aside from that, the Gemara does seem to be giving a broader psak to something which could very well be just a very personal issue. So the Gemara says, okay, but throughout this discussion, you know what just came out? Something really interesting, and that is that if you're Mitzar Mukhlat, you could be with your wife. You have to be Chutz Machaneh, but you could be with your wife. The Gemara says, that's really? And the Gemara says, yeah, really. In. Vehatanya. Vayasha Michotzah, lo shevas yamim, sheyasa betash mishamita. Veina ala laisha shere melecham or lahem shuvalachem lo lahechem. So for the 7 days now, for the 7 days here of the Tahara process, so you can't be with your wife, which by not by definition, but by inference, by deduction, would then mean that prior to that, you could be with your wife. Rav Yehuda Amar Shivas Yamim Yisapurlo, Yimei Sfira Velo Yimei Chaluto. Rav Yehuda seemingly is in agreement. He just bases it on a pasuk in Yecheskel, where the pasuk says that he is for the 7 days, he cannot be with his wife, then meaning that's only for the 7 days, but the days prior he can be. In Rav Yehuda Amar Zayin Yimei Sfira Kavachomer Lema Chaluto. I'm sorry, Le Yimei Chaluto. And Rav Yehuda says no, Kavachomer. Meaning if he can't be with his wife during the Tahara days, he certainly can't be with his wife during the days where he was definitively a Mitzora. Okay, so it's funny. The Gemara says, of course you can be with your wife during Yimei Chaluto, but meanwhile, there is a Shita recorded here in the Breisa that you can. But the Gemara's assumption is that the majority position, the accepted position, is that a Mitzora Mochlat can be with his wife. So can't be with others, but can be with his wife. See Tosus over here. I made an attempt. See Tosus over here that goes through the exact years in which Uzziah had his saras, but he was one of the kings, and he had saras, and he fathered a child during the days of saras. The Gemara's assumption over here is that he was compliant with halacha, and so it's a raya that, in fact, a man could be with his wife during Yimei, during his period of being a Mitzora. Amalo af ani kach amarti. And he says, I said the same thing as well. And the Gemara over here points out, now that sheet of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So he says, his position is what's called a kavachomer. Meaning, once the Torah says that while he's being mitar himself, he can't be with his wife. So it stands to reason that during the actual Mitzora days himself, he can't be with his wife. Umar sever my de gali gali my de lo gali lo gali. And as far as the other position is concerned, no, just the opposite. If the Torah is telling you that he can't be with his wife during the Yimei Tahara, okay, so those are the only days that he can't be with his wife, meaning the default is that he is in fact allowed to be with his wife. Okay, Tosfos over here wonders, meaning if you have a Kal V'Chomer, how you arguing with a Kal V'Chomer, but of course the answer is you can argue with a Kal V'Chomer, right? Tosfos himself points out. Okay, anyway, we're going to stop over here. Let's quickly recap our day today. First topic of discussion in the course of today's daf is tzedah and pest extermination on Chol HaMoed in order to prevent loss for your orchard and for your wheat field. It's mutter, but there's some more details that I'm not going to go through right now. The second discussion that we had in that very same Mishnah is going to be where your fence comes down and you can go ahead and you can patch it up again on Chol HaMoed. And Rav Chisda said the patch job, the temporary patch job, is for the fence of your field, but the fence of your property you can actually build back legamre on Chol HaMoed. And with the discussion of whether or not we could support Rav Chisda's chiddush. Then the second discussion that we had over the course of today's daf is in the world of saras, where if you have saras or possibly have saras, can you go to the Kohen on Chol HaMoed? Machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says you can go because the Kohen can defer from giving a psak. Rabbi Yossi says you cannot go because the Kohen does not have the ability to defer. And as a result of that, it may come out that he's going to tell you you have tzaras. And as a result of that, that's bad news. And you don't want to hear bad news on Chol HaMoed because of Simchas Yontov. And then the remainder of today's daf is to contextualize the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, where Rabbi says, I see one side when it comes to Mukhla, and I see the other side when it comes to Muzgar. And then the question becomes, which way did he like for Mukhla? Which way did he like for Muzgar? And oddly enough, two different brisas, and exactly where Rebbe stood on which way he preferred for Muzgar and which way he preferred for Mukhla. What's at the issue over here is, what does a person prefer? If, in fact, you go from the state of being a Muzgar to being a Mukhla, so now, on one hand, you're chutzamachana. On the other hand, you get to take your wife with you. Some people prefer that. On the other hand, to go from mukhlat to being tahor, so you get to come back in, but you're no longer with your wife. Some people prefer that. And so that is the differing explanations of which way Rebbe goes in terms of when you can or cannot go to a Kohen with your tzaras on Chol HaMoed. And finally, a mitzvah mukhla, when you definitely have tzaras, you can actually be with your wife. So the Gemara says yes, although the yes is tempered by the fact that it is a machlokas, but the Gemara says that there are mitzvahs that even Uzziahu was a mitzvah when he fathered a child. And so the answer is yes, a mitzvah can be with his wife. During the Yemei Tahara, the 7 days of Tahara, so then a mitzvah cannot be with his wife, but mitzvah during his days of tzaras can in fact be with his wife.